Centrally Speaking is the Central Schwenkfelder Church's podcast. It speaks about issues that would be of interest to our society. In particular, it addresses how a Christian worldview intersects with Western secular culture. In the spirit of the church's founder, we take the perspective of the middle way, which is in agreement with the historic Christian church.
I'm Dr. Drake Williams, Minister of Mission and Theology at the Church. Our website is www.cscfamily.org. Today and in the coming months, we are aiming to present an array of topics that would generate interest to those living near the church or in Montgomery County. Today, we're going to have a conversation about the Schwenkfelders and how they have influenced Montgomery County. Many of you may have driven past the Central Schwenkfelder Church or past sister churches in our area, such as the Palm Schwenkfelder Church on the Gravel Pike, Pennsylvania State Route 29 in Upper Hanover Township, or past the Olivet Schwenkfelder United Church of Christ on Township Line Road in East Norriton, or past Schwenkfeld Manor on Allentown Road in Lansdale, or even past the Schwenkfelder Library and Heritage Center in Pennsburg. And you may have driven past these buildings and seen the word Schwenkfelder. And you may have wondered, what does that mean? Well, we would like to discuss this with you today. Today, it's my pleasure to have my father with me, also named Drake Williams. Besides being my father, he is a member of the Central Schwenkfelder Church here in Lansdale, Pennsylvania, along Valley Forge Road. He is also a former moderator of the General Conference of Schwenkfelder Churches, and also a former moderator of the Central Schwenkfelder Church, and he is currently treasurer at the Schwenkfelder Library and Heritage Center. He also has several historical interests, and particularly in the Schwenkfelders. We warmly welcome you today to the show, Dad. Thank you for coming.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Let's start by asking a few basic questions about the Schwenkfelders. How long have the Schwenkfelders been here in Montgomery County?
Well, they came starting in 1731 through the period of 1737, but the major migration was in 1734. That's when the vast number of them came over.
And why were they called Schwenkfelders?
Ah, because they were followers of Caspar Schwenkfelder von Asick, who was a reformer born back in 1491 and lived was a contemporary of Luther's.
And coming from Europe, how did they get all the way here to Montgomery County?
Well, they had actually a very interesting trip. They left Saxony in 1734, in the spring of 1734, and took a flatboat ride down the Elbe River and ended up in Holland, the Netherlands, and eventually then traveled from there over to England and then came across the Atlantic Ocean on the St. Andrew in the summer and early fall of 1734. That's the major migration I'm referring to now.
And then you must say that there are also several other migrations that took place.
Yeah, they all came over basically the same time, and I don't know if they all followed exactly the same route. I'm most familiar with the 1734 one.
And why did they decide to leave Germany to come all the way over here to Montgomery County?
Well, they'd been persecuted for years. They were followers of Schwenkfeld after he died, and they lived in the Lower Silesia, and from time to time they were persecuted both by the Lutherans and the Catholics. Eventually they were forced to leave Silesia and spent some time in Saxony, that's a neighboring country. They were under the protection of Count Zinzendorf, and they lived in Saxony for about 8 years or so, but the pressure then was on Zinzendorf to convert them or do something with them, and the Schwenkfelders thought it was time to go somewhere else. And they had some people who had been over here in America, and they liked the reports they had, and they thought it was time to go.
With the relationship with Zinzendorf, then there must be also some other relations that they had with other Christian bodies today.
That was a period of Reformation. There were a lot of things that were going on over there. Zinzendorf was a Moravian, and he welcomed other people, not just the Schwenkfelders there. So they did rub some shoulders there, particularly, I guess, with the Anabaptists. They were not on good terms with the Lutherans, so they tried to avoid them.
Now, you said that they had experienced some poor treatment in Silesia, Germany. Can you share anything about the treatment that they had?
Well, it's been told that they were both in stocks and pillories. Some of them apparently were even sent off to the galleys from Vienna, something similar to what you might have seen in the Ben-Hur movie.
And then they came through from Germany through to the Netherlands onto England and then settled here in southeast Pennsylvania. Why here rather than somewhere else? Is that just where the boat landed?
No, they were specifically coming here. Well, there were probably several reasons. There had been some people over here before, a couple of them, and maybe you might have considered them advanced scouts, I'm not sure, but they had sent back some good reports. It's interesting because Zinzendorf himself was actually interested in having the Schwenkfelders go to Georgia, and there was a lot of discussion about that. Zinzendorf actually put a little bit of pressure on them to go to Georgia, but they decided that maybe Pennsylvania was more appealing. Of course, there was always the religious freedom idea that William Penn had was promoting. And so I think they were concerned about religious freedom, and I think they saw that as a help. And the other interesting thing was that they spent some time arguing amongst themselves whether or not they should stay in Europe and stay in the Netherlands for a while. But I think wiser heads prevailed, and they came over here.
And they settled in this area along with some other groups like the Mennonites, the Moravians, and have had some contact with them over the years too.
Yes, they have. Right? Yes, they've always been on good terms with them. I think originally when they got here, they were hoping to all live together, but that was not possible. So they ended up spreading out a little bit, but still all in southeastern Pennsylvania. They were looking for farms. They had hoped that they would actually all be in one place together, but it didn't quite work out that way.
If you could tell us a little bit of who some of the more well-known Schwenkfelders have been.
Well, in most recent times, many people will probably remember Drew Lewis and Dick Schweiker. They were in the same church. They grew up together. Interesting enough, they both served in President Reagan's first cabinet. That was very unusual. It was the first time that had happened since revolutionary times. Drew Lewis was the Secretary of Transportation, and many people will probably remember his rather significant role in the air controller strike. And then later he became the president of Union Pacific Railroad. Dick Schweiker was a member of the House of Representatives for a short period of time, and then he was appointed the Secretary of Health and Human Services. Also, it's probably worth mentioning, you're thinking about Schwenkfelders you might have heard about, is Dick Schweiker's father, Malcolm Schweiker, who was very well known in this area, the Lansdale area. He served as a president of the American Olean Tile Company.
So this is not an insular group.
Initially, they did keep to themselves. I mean, that was one of their characteristics in the first 100 years or so. But then a little bit later on, they reached out and were in lots of areas.
Can you say something about the meeting houses where the Schwenkfelders first met to worship?
Well, when they came over here, they actually just met in homes. In the Penzberg area, there were three meeting houses built. There were meeting houses at Worcester and Tomensen and Salford. And they eventually became the Central Schwenkfelder Church. Up in the northern area, outside of Penzberg, Hosensack, and Krausdale, and in the area around here, Salford. They do have worship services there. Matter of fact, in Salford, they have one every year.
But they're primarily worshiping in church buildings now. How many Schwenkfelders are there today, and are they all in Montgomery County?
Well, all except a few in Philadelphia. There are a little more than 2,000 Schwenkfelders worshiping now. Four churches, one in Palm, one in Central Schwenkfelder Church, and Olivet Schwenkfelder Church, and then a missionary church in Philadelphia. So except for the missionary church, all of them are in Montgomery County.
And they get together periodically, all as a group, for a Day of Remembrance. A Day of Remembrance, the longest standing continuous running Thanksgiving service in America. How did this service first start, and are there any distinctives about it today?
Well, it started in 1734 when they arrived here in September. They arrived on September 22nd, and they'd had a very, very rough trip. If Christopher Schultz's diary is to be believed, and I think it is to be believed, shortly before they arrived here, he describes possibly a very heavy storm, which I would say was probably a hurricane, probably before they recognized what a hurricane was. But they In many ways, I think they were lucky to have survived. And when they got here, they decided that they needed to give thanks to Almighty God for their safe deliverance. And so they started that on September 24th, 1734. And every year since then, they have met for a day of remembrance. Not always on that day, although for many years, it was always on that day. But in recent times, it's usually on a Sunday closest to that day. And they have apple butter and bread as their meal. Actually, I think they had apple beer when they landed in 1734, but we've decided not to have the beer now.
And I know some of the heritage from the Schwenkfelders is preserved at the Schwenkfelder Library and Heritage Center in Pennsburg. Can you tell us a little bit about this Heritage Center and what might be of interest to the general public?
Well, the Heritage Center really began in the 1800s when the original Schwenkfelders and some of those people who followed them then passed away. There was a lot of material that they came over with. Well, a lot of they had everything that they came over with. They didn't come over with very much. What they came over with were Bibles and books, and they kept those things, and they began to think that they needed to collect them together. So eventually they started collecting from everybody that they could all this material, and they kept it in the Carnegie Library, which is found in Pennsburg. And then they eventually in 1950s, and finished actually in 1951, a library, and they moved that material there. That library then was expanded in 2001, and actually there's another expansion being worked on right now here in 2019. But there's all kinds of interesting things that go in that library. Did you want me to describe what the...
Yes, please do.
Well, it houses all kinds of interesting items. I think one of the most fascinating items is Schwenkfeld's Bible, which was his original Bible in which he had his own notes. And for years, it was wondered what had happened to it. And in the late 1800s, a dealer over in London wrote over here to the Schwenkfelders and said, "I think we found something that you might be interested in." And turns out he was absolutely right. He had found Schwenkfeld's Bible. The Schwenkfelders got together some money and went over and bought it and brought it back, and it's housed in the Schwenkfelder Library and Heritage Center. Other interesting things that are housed there are the original document that the Schwenkfelders signed when they got off the boat in 1734. That document is also housed up there. And then a document that was written in 1742 by Frederick the Great, inviting the Schwenkfelders back after they had been gone for a period of time. Frederick the Great thought that he missed the Schwenkfelders, he'd like to have them come back, and he issued an edict inviting them back. And we have that copy of that document too, and that's also in the library. Now, I have to tell you that none of them went back, but at any rate, that's another interesting thing. Also up there are all manner of diaries and old books and letters. What does the library do besides housing all these things? I mean, it sponsors all kinds of things. It has an antique fair, which has been doing every year. It's called Penn Dry Goods Market Antique Show and Sale, which it does every May. It does things every fall. And here are some of the things it's just doing this fall, called American Girl Tea Time, Hands-On History Program, Fall Harvest Day Camp, and History Detectives. It's just some of the things that I can mention that that's going on in the Schwenkfelder Library.
Well, thank you so much for coming and sharing about the Schwenkfelders and providing some history. Thank you to those who have been listening to Centrally Speaking, a broadcast from the Central Schwenkfelder Church in Worcester, Pennsylvania. Our Sunday morning services are the following. We have a traditional service at 9 a.m., with organ and various choirs. Our praise team leads the contemporary service at 10:35. Sunday school for youth and children is at 9 o'clock. Sunday school for adults is at 9 o'clock and as well as at 10:30. We warmly welcome you to join us. Thank you again for listening.